Broadcasting live from the beautiful Hilton Beachfront Hotel in Pensacola, Florida, it's the 2015 I-10 Wired Summit. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Keith Hope at Pensacola Business Radio, broadcasting live from I-10 Wired. I think we've all just had a really good lunch. We had a great speak from Mr. Vern Boyle. And now I have several members of the UWF panel here with me today. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and let's get into it.
All right. I'm Dr. Ramey Goujon. I'm in the Department of Anthropology.
All right.
My name's Perry Journey. I'm a senior software engineering student at the University of West Florida.
Okay. So what brings you two here to I-10?
Well, the panel we were on today was to discuss 3D printing technologies on campus, both in the classroom and in terms of research that's going on up there. So my short talk was on the subject of bringing printed materials like fossil human remains into the classroom nearly as soon as the news about their discoveries are happening. And then the other component of my talk was about some research we're doing with artifacts that are frankly too fragile to handle very often, but when we 3D print them, we're able to bring them into the class and experiment with them in a way that we just can't do with those fragile cultural materials.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So we could technically scan Tutankhamun's body.
Absolutely.
Recreate it through a 3D printer in your classroom and then actually study it?
Down the hall anyway, maybe not live in the classroom.
That's but, a big printer. But know, yeah,
that's a great example. Tutankhamun's in the news from recently.
Yeah.
There was a bad repair done. They epoxied his chin back on and it was a bad repair. But by intensively scanning those materials and testing out different ways to repair that mask, they're now in the process of restoring it again.
Yeah, something tells me the Egyptians really didn't think about Gorilla Glue.
When they were
wrapping the mummies. So, wow. You know, you bring something really cool to the light that I see today, and that is, obviously 3D printing is cool, and it's great, and we've actually had a couple of conversations about it earlier today. But the fact that you could use that in such a different way that you're stating. I mean, we're not just printing, you know, the cool car off of the computer screen, or like we were talking, Ryan and I were talking earlier, of constructing walls and stuff for houses. I mean, you guys were talking about strictly some really cool educational uses for this.
Sure, absolutely. You can think about any kind of museum exhibit. A lot of times we're viewing those materials behind glass, and it's neat to see them, and the students get excited when they're in the museum. But for rural areas or places where those big traveling exhibits don't go, here's a chance for the teacher to produce those materials, give a lesson plan, and then pass the objects around. And that hands-on experience really hammers home the lessons that the teachers are trying to get across.
Yeah. So as an anthropologist, what's the one you want to see the most? That you want to study the most?
We have so many different sources now of material. I've got in my pocket a spear point that's about 10,500 years old. It's a replica of a spear point that was found in Maine or in the New England area probably about 30 years ago. And it's been reported. There's photographs of it out there. But to print one off in our lab and handle it for the first time gives you a whole different sense of the size of the object and how it might have been used. And
sure.
Really brings the importance of those materials directly into the classroom.
So I have at my house an artifact that my father gave me, which is an old oil jar from 1100 BC that is wrapped up, sealed tight in a box that I have not been able to take out or look at since. Let alone wanted to put it in a museum, but I also kind of like want to have it on display at my house.
Sure.
But same concept. I can't open that thing without air getting to it, without something destroying it. Mm-hmm. And so now maybe we could scan it, print it, then I could donate it to where it needs to go.
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot in the historic preservation world, where the materials that are too fragile to have out can be replicated very, very closely to the original. And stand in for the original and be put on display in places that previously they couldn't, just for security reasons or just because the original materials were far too fragile.
Yeah. So in all honesty, how far away are we from this becoming a reality sort of nationwide or even region-wide?
Oh, it's currently ongoing. I think it's happening now.
Okay. Wow. That's incredible and fast. Well, I want to thank you for coming and hanging
You're
out
welcome.
With us
thank
today.
You.
Do you have some information where somebody can find your work or what you guys are working on? Or
well, you can look in the Department of Anthropology's website, the University of West Florida. A number of the faculty have websites there. You can find us on the faculty pages. And you can look for example, Dr. Christina Kilgrove's webpage. She's an active blogger and has a site up for our 3D printing lab there in the department.
Very neat. Well, I'm going to have to get you to come down to the studio. Maybe I'll bring out the urn jar. You can take a look at it.
All right.
It's really cool.
Happy to help.
Yeah, thanks. All right, man, jump in here. We've got 3D printing, and then we've got a technology piece to this. So what brought you to I-10?
So what brought me to I-10 is we really wanted to showcase how 3D printing is being introduced to the students in the engineering field, and how 3D printing is allowing engineering students to grow past the traditional constraints that are put on traditional manufacturing techniques. So we can really design anything we put our mind to now with the advent and implementation of 3D printers into engineering.
Okay, so when you're explaining this stuff to these guys today, how's it being received, and you see people getting excited about it and jumping on board?
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic to see, and not just in our university, but large companies like Airbus and Ford Motor Company are using 3D printing and engineering to really improve their designs and bring engineering to a new level.
Yeah, and which brings me to my next question. How do you see this playing into the safety testing of stuff? And I mean, obviously, you guys... It almost seems that you're going to make something on a 3D printer because you're sort of testing the idea and the concept. You may find out you've got a 3D printed finished product, right?
Right. Well, one of the biggest troubles with 3D printing today is residual stresses in the parts that maybe aren't as predictable as we'd like them to be. So there's a decent room for improvement with the engineering applications of 3D printing, but it's rapidly improving. The industry is growing, and it's becoming better by the day.
Yeah. I still can't get anybody to tell me how much an ink cartridge costs. So, but I guess they don't make those, do they? Great. Well, so you're seeing this in the engineering piece of it, and obviously UWF is a big part. And I know you guys have lots of innovation engineering going on there, but what else are you guys seeing? And give us some other examples of the applications that you guys are using it for.
Well, I have a great example. We recently got SolidWorks, a site-wide license SolidWorks at our university. And within a month, I was able to design in SolidWorks a quadcopter, test it in SolidWorks, 3D print it, and fly it. It's a 4-foot
Very
by
cool.
3-foot quadcopter, 16-inch carbon fiber blades, has a 5-pound payload. It's incredible. But within a month, I was able to 3D print it and fly my design. Whereas with a traditional technique, you know, it might take 2 or 3 weeks to just
sure,
get the materials
in. You gotta
do
the molding and the plastics, you gotta send
right.
it off somewhere, right?
Right, you have to hire the machinist who comes in late, leaves early, you know,
yeah.
It takes 2 or 3 weeks to finish the product. So we just hit print, come in the next morning, and we can hold our design in our hand. It's fantastic.
Okay, so what does this mean for the creative mind at home? I mean, I think you just opened up doors to be able to bring some really cool products to the forefront with maybe not as much of the red tape as you would usually have.
Right. Traditional manufacturing techniques where using machine tool, you have to be able to fit that tool into tight spaces, and maybe you can't design what you'd really like to design. 3D printing, you can imagine a cube with a perfect cylindrical sphere in the center of it. You can't machine something like that.
Sure.
You'd have to do it in slices and then assemble them, and you'd have stress points. With 3D printing, you can print it from the ground up, and any shape you can imagine, you can create organic structures that build strength through their geometry rather than through their bulk. And so you, at the end of the day, you end up with a better engineered product that is engineered the way you want it, not engineered by the constraints of manufacturing.
Man, that is cool. You guys are making like the spider web of the next, you know, because don't they say that the spider silk is stronger than any steel at that diameter. So you guys are doing the same thing. You were saying geometry is working as structural integrity now as opposed to bulk or weight.
Absolutely. So if you imagine almost a bone-like structure, bone's not done in straight lines that you might see in a traditional manufactured product.
Sure.
It's that organic structure, and you can't do that with traditional manufacturing, but with 3D printing, it becomes very easy. And so you can design what you want it to design, not what you are limited by.
Yeah, so only your imagination then, huh?
Exactly.
Man, you guys are doing some really cool work. Well, I want to thank you for stopping by
Absolutely.
Our Radio X booth today. You got a contact, Facebook, anywhere that somebody wants to check out what you guys are doing?
Well, the University of West Florida Engineering Department is a fantastic website. It's very informative. My lab advisors are Dr. Regas and Dr. Chewy, and both are really dedicated to the program and great people to contact.
Great. Well, again, thanks for coming by and hanging out, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your summit.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah,
jump on in here.
Hi, my name's Thomas Asmuth. I'm instructor in the Department of Art, and I specialize in expanded or experimental media. And today's presentation, I was discussing how I see actually art is a new training ground with these technologies for all kinds of industry.
So we can now make printing an art category. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, well, printing has always been an art category.
Right, but it's usually been from something you capture and then how you manipulate it and print it, right?
Well, yeah. The legacy of this, actually, though, you're absolutely right, comes from when we think about lithographs, and then we move into the modern materials of doing laser prints and inkjets.
Yeah.
Because it uses virtually the same mechanism, except that you add a z-axis to the x and y, so you do slices and build up. And many of these technologies now are being utilized by so many different industries that a student can pursue a degree in fine arts and go work for an engineering program or a company.
Wow, really cool. So what are you guys, what are you doing specifically in your apartment, in your department that facilitates that kind of adventure?
Certainly. Well, we start with programs to teach them how to model correctly, and then we move them into using different types of digital fabrication, both additive and subtractive. Additive, the 3D printing, but subtractive is when you have a computerized mechanism to cut away material. So we have training in both. And then the students propose projects, or we give them prompts, and they address those issues and create product.
So it gives a whole new meaning to Photoshop, doesn't it?
Oh, it's blown up. Yeah.
So are you finding like the anthropology side where people are replicating some of those other pieces of art to either display or manipulate or make new art from?
Absolutely. In digital art, computers were first made to copy and paste,
sure.
Right? In digital arts all the time, just like any other type of creative or scholarly activity, you look at what has been made before. You may even take it and manipulate it, take it apart, put it back together, or add to it.
Yeah.
So, sometimes we do delve into using a found object and then build into it.
Very cool. So other than the 3D printing, because you guys have already... You've done that. What else have you been so excited to see today, or what else have you seen already that has really sort of grabbed you?
Well, I really enjoyed the first keynote this morning. The speaker was talking about this idea of innovation and entrepreneurship and should not be afraid of failure. Failure is just a point for you to note so you can make a change for the next version.
Sifting through the contrast.
Right. Yeah. And in design and art, we call that the iterative design process, where you design, then test and find out where it fails, and then add that and test it again and again.
Well, and you know, something else he was hitting on this morning, too, that I really enjoyed was the way that all of this has to start working together. You know, and UWF, you guys are a huge part of that. But everywhere from the kid in elementary school to the job training, to the college degrees, to the engineering, all of this stuff has to start coming together, or it's just not going to work.
And I think that's really our focus in digital art at UWF, is that we look at this sort of broad picture of we can bring in solutions from all kinds of areas, and then we can deploy them into new areas to create new form and meaning. And
I think it's cool you can say, hey, you can go to art class now and then go work in an engineer's office.
It's amazing.
That is a huge leap from 10 years ago in education.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Thomas, I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with us today, and I really do hope you enjoyed the rest of your I-10 Wired experience.
Thank you.
And I may come to see you. We'll print something cool.
That would be great.
Something cool. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Come on.
Maybe we'll do our logo.
Absolutely. Maybe we can scan you and then start carving you out.
Yeah, holding the microphone.
Yeah, there you go.
Very cool. Well, Thomas, again, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
All right, John.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Great, man.
So feel free to sort of, they're directional mics, so feel free to.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Introduce yourself and tell us what brought you here to I-10.
I'm John Barksdale. I run the Skylab Technology Lab. It's on the fifth floor of the library. And
is that why it's a Skylab?
Yeah, basically. Hasn't come crashing to Earth yet, so I'm keeping it in orbit up there on top of the library. And we're just supposed to be an innovative high-tech lab that stays on the cutting edge of technology. We try to keep good stuff up there, cool stuff. And so 3D printing came about. I talked to some people like, yeah, we need to do that. So we got our first 3D printer in February of 2014. It was a great success, and so we got two more in May of 2015, and it's just the students just love it. They're up there all the
time. So everybody gets to come to your house to play, basically,
right?
Yeah,
it's just like a big...
It's a big toy, I can imagine.
Big playhouse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can make... The students can make virtually anything they want within reason, and they can come up and they can make their own models. We have all different types of 3D modeling software. They can draw their own stuff. They can be creative.
So you're sort of the testing ground for all this kind of stuff, right? Somebody gets an idea, no matter what department, I guess, or education course they're on, and they come see you to see if they can act it out and make it happen.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about our lab. It's, you know, across all the disciplines, anybody that's affiliated with UWF can come out to my lab and start printing stuff. And like we have some history students who have been coming in, and they've been printing... like historical artifacts to use in history presentations in their classes.
We talk about getting an A, right?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, I bet.
Chemistry students come in and print like molecular structures and take those to class. Professors have been printing some of those to hand out. And biology students come in and make like little microscopic organisms, just all kinds of
stuff. And life size, so you can, well, not life size,
but
larger size, so you can see
what's up. Yeah.
Great. So when Ryan and I get scanned with holding our microphones and the logo's ready to go, it's going to be your house that we're going to be printing it all up in.
Yeah, I'm thinking we could like do a thing of your head and make a Pez dispenser.
There you go. Ryan definitely needs to be made into a Pez dispenser.
Yeah, please take my likeness into a Pez dispenser.
So let me ask you then, since this is sort of housed in your lab, how big are these things? Do they vary? We saw the one over here in the corner, which seemed to be quite small, so I'm assuming you're sort of limited to the...
Yeah.
Obviously the size of the printer for the size of the output, but you guys sound like you may have a little bit bigger operation going on.
That's a cube over there, and it's pretty small. The build plate on ours is approximately 6x6x11. So it's not huge, but it's a little bit bigger than that one over there.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to get some bigger ones sometime soon. But you can also you can make pieces and put something together that's larger. Sure.
Right.
Or like you can make your own plastic model and build something really big.
So like we were talking earlier, Ryan just got done with our Chattanooga studio, and obviously 3D printing's huge up there, but he just left a place that's printing walls for buildings.
Right. Has the world's largest 3D printer.
Wow. So how big is the world's largest?
I haven't seen it. It's only been described to me that way, so I have not in person been in presence of that. So, but they are a big community, from the small ones to the big ones. And from what I understand, it's the substrate materials that these 3D printers are using is really where technology is advancing quickly. Is that true?
What ink is in your ink cartridge, I guess, right?
Mainly, we're just sticking with the plastics right now because we don't have the funding to buy printers. But, I mean, that's coming.
However, UWF's always looking for the funding, so let's throw that out there. If somebody wants to fund some cool new printer cartridges, by all means, find
these
guys. So, okay, well, John, what do you think, and I said this before, so you can't choose 3D printing already, but... What do you think's been the most exciting thing you've seen so far, or what are you excited to still see here in the rest of the summit that's going on?
I'm actually glad to see that the Cube people are here with the printer, showing people what's up with it, and so people can get a first-hand view of how these things work.
So yeah.
I'm really glad to see that.
Very cool. Well, John, we want to thank you for dropping by. Does anybody that needs to get in touch with you or wants to find some of the work you guys are doing, where can we let them know to go look?
Sure. Email
UWF.
JBARKSDALE1@UWF.edu.
That'll work.
Answer any questions.
So if you want something printed, call John.
Yeah, or I can give them some instructions on maybe where they can get it done. Yeah. Mainly, my lab is mainly for students, faculty, and staff, but we're actually going to be offering a course in SolidWorks here starting in January.
Okay.
And it's a continuing ed class, so anybody could sign up for that.
Oh, well, that's
and if
cool.
they sign up for the class, they're going to learn this professional CAD modeling software, and they'll have access to my lab, so that would be a cool thing for the public.
So we can come hang out. So we can make Pez dispensers.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I hope people are making more, obviously, cool, innovative things than that, but something about having my head on a Pez dispenser kind of sounds neat.
Pretty rad.
We could corner the market, John. We could corner the market. So, well, again, John, thanks for coming on today, and I really hope you enjoy the rest of your I-10 experience.
All right, man. Thanks. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me.
Appreciate absolutely. So who is this lovely lady I have sitting next to me?
Well, howdy and good afternoon. My name is Nicole Gieslas, and I'm with the University of West Florida's Training Solutions Group. And it's an honor, and I'm humbled to be among these experts here at I-10 Wired. My background is in adult training and education. And my territory, if you will, is the triangle of talent here on the Gulf Coast between Pensacola,
that's like
Panama
the third
City.
New term we've heard today, so that's awesome. Triangle of talent, we're going with.
Yeah, and then the last city that borders that triangle of talent would be the metropolis of Bonifay, Florida. On any given day and any given week, our team will be in one of those locations providing workshops on various technologies, as things like SolidWorks is the newest addition to our portfolio.
Right.
But we also provide other training like AS9100 for aerospace education, regulations, Lean Six Sigma, things like that.
Yeah.
But certainly 3D printing and the thought of printing some new shoes for myself really attractive to me. So I have latched myself on to folks like John here.
Yeah.
And it's been really great.
So now I don't feel guilty because you think 3D printing and you're like, okay, I should think big. But I'm thinking Pez dispenser and you're thinking shoes.
Yes,
so
you're right.
We're good.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, you know, aside from obviously what your job does and stuff, but what else has brought you here into I-10?
Well, this is a great community of technology professionals and educators. And so we at the university want to insert ourselves into the conversation that fellow educators and technology professionals are having so that we can provide better service in research, in training, education throughout our campus, if you will.
Yeah, sure. And I could imagine, you know, again, as we were talking before, and I think you were behind us, you may not have heard, but, you know, one of the things that we have noticed, Ryan and I have noticed here today, is how much all the pieces of the community are really coming together, because it has to be this sort of group effort to deal with this kind of technology, to deal with this kind of training and getting this stuff out. So I think you hit the nail on the head. You have to combine all these pieces.
Indeed, and this is a critical point in time where you see a lot happening in the Pensacola, Florida area. You mentioned funding. Well, that's exactly the thing that's needed for a makerspace, a DIY center that my colleague Bryce Harris could talk at length about. We need this kind of makerspace to help bring the innovators together that are in this room and bring them together on a regular basis, whether they're hobbyists or scientists or people who are interested in printing new shoes.
Yeah.
You know,
that we need a big think tank, don't
indeed,
we?
Indeed, right. And this is a beautiful location to bring those people together. And we have a lot of experts related to the military already. So why not harness that people talent, if you will, and get them into a makerspace here in Pensacola.
So do you have anybody spearheading that kind of project like that right now? Is there anywhere that we can send somebody to help make that happen?
Well, certainly they can reach out to us at the University of West Florida. I'd be happy to plug them into that conversation. My email address is easy. It's just Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at uwf.edu. And a group of us meet regularly to tackle new opportunities in the 3D makerspace. So we'd be happy to bring in community members and those folks can help us shape the conversation and build that makerspace for our community.
Well, and I think you're in the right room at the right time. I'm sure toss that idea to a couple of these guys and they're definitely going to jump on it. So.
Right. Well, I hope so. And I do appreciate the opportunity to meet with you guys today.
Yeah, absolutely. So. We're fascinated with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's been great just talking to folks like yourself and being part of this community. I think it's like not a triangle, but a funnel of tech leaders. They're all being funneled right here to the Pensacola and Gulf Coast area, and I think it's a great
image.
Place to be.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we want to thank you for stopping by and
spending
some time with your afternoon. What are you looking forward to next? What do you want to go see after this?
Well, my colleague at the University of West Florida is giving a presentation on mobile devices. So Janusz Chudzinski, he's going to be in the next room, so I think I'll go check it out.
Very cool.
All right.
So, and this question can go to both of you. Anything you know you want to see next year? Anything you haven't seen this year or that you know you're going to want to see next year?
Well, I can think of one thing. This year our panel did a great job. Of course, I'm biased, but I think next year's panel, consisting of other scientists, including John here, they ought to wear the things they've printed. So
some
printable,
cool.
printed some armor,
evidence.
If you will.
You
want to
wear some shoes, don't
Indeed,
you?
Indeed, yeah. Bring the shoes. Okay. I'll
Somebody's
take the photos.
Somebody's got to bring Tutankhamun then. You got to have the mummy here.
Yeah. That's a great idea, to see the technology and where it can go within a year's time and put that kind of benchmark out there for some of these people to succeed and catch.
Right. We'll print John some armor.
Nice.
Maybe a necklace.
Okay.
Some jewelry.
Yeah, you need some jewelry.
Like a shark tooth necklace.
You take home to the lady when you're done. Yeah, there you go.
I got some gold printer filament. I got some silver, too.
See, this is out of the box
rings,
right here.
I'm thinking big.
You could bring our Pez dispensers.
A big gold clock.
Oh, a little Flavor Flav.
That's right what I'm thinking.
Great. Well, listen, you two, I want to thank you both again for coming and hanging out with us this afternoon, and I really hope that you guys enjoy the rest of your I-10 experience.
Thank you. All great right? to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.